Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question-and-answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we will face the issues. Our program, as you are aware, if you've listened to us in days and weeks past, our program is dedicated to seeking the truth when facing issues in the world today. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to the scripture to find truth. It's going to the scripture as is the fountainhead of truth. Scripture, the word of God, the Bible, is the only truth that we have to offer in the world. We're seeking answers. You're seeking answers. We're trying to find a direction in life and where we need to go and what we ought to do with each situation and each day that passes. We're finding more and more that unless we have the illumination through the Holy Spirit of God in the Word of God, we are absolutely in a dark chaos scenario. May I remind you, by the way, as listeners, you have the opportunity to call in. This is a question and answer broadcast. It's designed to have your input, your questions, your dialogue, your discussion, or if you please, your disagreement. We can be disagreeable with, we can disagree without being disagreeable. So invite your calls. You can call us at 904-401-1413. That's 401-1413. And we look forward to having your input on today's broadcast. May I remind us also that we invite you as our guest for our services at First Conservative Baptist Church, our Bible study, our Sunday school hours at 9:30 on Sunday morning. We have classes for the ladies and the men and for the children and for each age group. We look forward to having you come and join with us. Then at 10:45 is the morning worship service, and at 7 p.m. is the evening worship time. And on Wednesdays, we have a unique opportunity, very similar to what we do on the radio broadcast each day. We do in person on Wednesday evenings in our fellowship hall. Our ladies prepare a cover dish. We come together and share a wonderful meal. We have singing, a time of prayer request and prayer time. But the highlight of the meeting is the Bible question and answer time, and sometimes a Bible study inextricably linked with the Bible discussion and the questions and answers. And by the way, I'm sure you've heard the latest news. We're not going to delve into the meat of it today. That'll be part of our discussion in some of our broadcasts next week. But I'm sure you heard the latest news. Munich, Germany, an attack in a shopping center originating in a McDonald's, where another one of the Islamic terrorists attacked innocent people, and several were slain as a result of it. May I remind us, we do have a war, and the war has been declared on the Western Hemisphere. And that war that is declared is out of the ideology of Islam. They call it a religion. Most of the time we refer to it as a religion. Multitudes of theologians and Bible scholars will talk about the three world religions, main religions, and that being Christianity, Judaism, and they add to that Islam. Islam is not a religion, although we refer to it as that. In the unholy, demonic book that is called the Quran, about 87% is based on political ideology, a way of life, instructing the Islamic jihadist how to murder, how to commit jihad. And the only way an Islamic that's dedicated to Allah and the Quran, the only way that Islamic can be assured of paradise is by carrying out martyrdom through jihad. He is then considered one of the highest honors and will be dispatched in that jihad, in that martyrdom that he will carry out, to that place that they refer to as paradise, where supposedly 72 black-eyed virgins will be waiting them for all of eternity. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply foreign to the Word of God. That is foreign to anything that we'll call, that we would call spirituality or a central biblicist viewpoint at all. By the way, let me say to you that next week we'll cover several very interesting topics. We're going to be looking at corruption in our government. We're going to be talking about corruption in local government and corruption on a statewide level and national level. We'll be talking about corruption in government so that we can look at what is taking place and have a better understanding of what God would have us to do in the election that's coming up, in the primaries that's taking place in August, and then in the general election in November. I am urging you to pray and say, God, how would you have me to vote? What would you have me to do? And then participate in the election process. Wave signs. Decide on a biblical candidate, a candidate that meets the, if you please, the directives for our time and for our need in society today. And wave signs for them. Introduce them to others. Be part of the solution. Be salt and light. God says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And as a result of that, he also, Jesus himself, commands us in the 5th chapter of Matthew that we're to be salt and light. And salt and light needs to be out of the room, out of the closet, out of the shaker, and in the world in which we live. We'll be looking at corruption in government next week, one of the days. We're also going to look at our war with Islam, our war with Islam. We'll also look at a subject that you won't want to miss. We'll be looking at demons and the Pokemon Go. Demons and Pokemon Go. What do the two have in common? What is the end result? Where are we going on an international basis with this absolute craze called Pokemon 2? Do we have any reference that we could go to that will give us instruction and direction? Absolutely, unequivocally. Then we will look at our elections and the primary and the general election. We'll look at also next week, what is 666? What is the number 666 that's found in Revelation chapter 13? Who does it indicate? What is the point of it? What is it saying? Let me encourage you to call in today, 401-1413. Ask your question. Join in the dialogue and the discussion. I want to ask you several questions. Don't think that I have gotten a record stuck when I start asking the questions. I'm going to ask several questions before we do a trickle-down to where I'm wanting to go in a biblical text that will give us instruction, insight, and directions for today. Why are we facing a dying nation? What is the cause of our moral decline in society today? What is the cause of our political chaos, not just in Washington and Tallahassee, but here in Jacksonville? Why do we see a falling away from the church, an apostasy? The Scripture warns us of that. We're seeing a major evidence of it every day as the clock ticks. Why do we see about 1,500 churches per month closing their doors in America today? And that is cross-denominational lines. Why is it that over 50% of so-called believers in America today, across denominational lines, disbelieve, you heard me right, disbelieve in the reality of hell? Over 50%. In fact, George Barner report indicates it's about 51%. Across denominational lines of those that claim to know Christ as Savior. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to me and you disbelieve in the reality of hell, you need to get on your knees and ask God through Jesus Christ to save you right now. Why is it over 38% of the so-called believers admit that they do not believe in a real personage called the devil? You heard me. Over 38% of so-called believers disbelieve in the reality of a personage found in the Scripture that's called Satan, the devil. Another question. Why do we so see so many believers today that find nothing wrong with the sodomite lifestyle? I'll be honest with you, some of the most castigating, demeaning, vile, vulgar confrontations I've had comes out of those that claim that they're saved, say that they're believers. When I talk about the sodomite lifestyle and what is being lived and how they're carried out. I believe we have a caller. If you would go ahead, ask your question. Hello?
Yeah, Doctor, I have a question, please.
All right, and your name again?
Yeah, Adolphus, calling from
Dolphus?
Florida.
Adolphus? Dolphus?
Yeah, from Liberia. Yeah, Adolphus, from calling from Florida. I'm an African. Yeah,
wonderful.
I will listen to you. Yeah, I listen to you every day, every time I listen, and almost 1 or 2 months now. But you always say something that I don't really grasp. Is it not right for a pastor, a preacher, to pray for the president or those who are in power?
You say, is it not right for them to pray for them?
Yeah, is it not right? Because you always say, sometimes you say something, I love it, but I'm asking.
Oh, no.
Have you ever
I'm sorry. The scripture gives us authority and insight and direction that we're to pray for those that are the presidents and the princes and those, if you put it in the Youngblood vernacular, the prime ministers and the presidents that rule over us. And it goes on to say in that Timothy text that you might live a quiet and peaceable life. So the indication there is in the text that if we pray, for example, with what we have today and what we're facing today with the debacle that's found in Washington that's called our leadership, I'll be honest with anybody that's listening, I pray every day. I'm saying, God, either save the president or remove him from office. Save him or remove him. So we have the responsibility. Yes, sir, absolutely. Pray for the leadership. Pray for the leadership in your city, in your county. Pray for the leadership in our state and on a national level. But my prayer historically has been, God, save them or remove them. And I pray that you'll do that. Thank you so much for your call today.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. God bless you for listening.
And you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. We have so many today that just as Adolphus that was wondering about that, yes, we need to pray for our leadership, pray for our president, pray that God will do something that will turn America around. And every nation, go back to the scripture, Old Testament, all the way through the New, and the leadership of a nation is the one that is responsible for the direction of the nation, not just politically, but morally, ethically, and biblically. If we have a sorry, good-for-nothing, immoral, ungodly, unholy, wicked leader, we wind up being a debased nation that will be absolutely destroyed through the judgment of God. But going forward with our question, by the way, you can call it 401-1413. Be delighted to entertain your call, your comment, your dialogue, and your interaction with what we're talking about. Why is it that Christians are mocked and the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not received or recognized in society today? Why is it that more and more denominations are literally simply focused on meeting the material needs of people rather than the spiritual needs? I understand food, clothing, and shelter is needful. We need to try to do what we can as a Christian, as a body of Christians, as a church to meet those needs. But that is not the focus. That is not the main need. In fact, when you find that text, you find it in Matthew chapter 25. Let me urge you, Matthew chapter 25, picking up verse 31 through verse 46. It's on the right page, the left column in my Bible, and it's talking about when Jesus Christ returns and what he says about meeting the need with food, clothing, and shelter. And he's talking about, in the days of the tribulation, those that are believers meeting the need of Christians are those that are in need in that day. Now, I'm not going to say that you can't and you should not theologically and doctrinally through a biblical scholarship approach meet the needs of others as you can, but that's not the focus of the scripture today. The focus is that we need to preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why are so many churches turning to appeasing the popular and not preaching the word? Why is it we find so many churches today, so many denominations, and so many Christians today that claim that they are embracing the sodomite lifestyle and somehow it's all right? You don't find that in the scripture at all. Could it be that we've left the preaching of the word off, that we have ceased and desist in the proclamation of the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? We see so many today that are afraid that they might offend someone by telling them the truth and preaching the truth. It just may be that we have many, 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 listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen, it just could be that we have many today that are in pews in your church and in our church in denominational organizations called the church. It just could be that there are multitudes that are lost and without Christ as Savior and as Lord. In 1975, Billy Graham said in one of his nationally broadcast messages that it was his opinion that 75% of those in church pews, this was in 1975, that 75% of those in the church pews were literally lost. May I simply say that for years and years and years I have taught, and I can go back and I can have a good argument biblically, that I believe we have approximately 10% in any church of any denomination that's truly blood-bought, Bible-saved, born-again, about 10%. You have about 10% in your church that supports your church financially, about 10% that supports the work in your church with time, talent, treasure, and testimony. About 10% will show up on, of any membership role, will show up on Sunday morning or Sunday evening or Wednesday evening. The Scripture says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by, that's the little Greek word, dia, D-I-A, means through the Word of God. So who's really responsible for where we are in the debacle, in the decline of our nation, and where we are morally, ethically, and spiritually? Let me give you a very powerful quote from Pastor Chuck Baldwin. Pastor Chuck Baldwin said, listen carefully for the quote, "For all intents and purposes, and for the most part, the American pulpit is dead. It's been replaced with corporate CEOs, carnival barkers, entertainers, motivational speakers, denominational hacks, and the groveling statistics. The Holy Scripture identifies them another way. The Holy Scripture calls them hirelings, ear ticklers, and wolves in sheep's clothing." Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and following is a text that I want us to look at briefly in the balance of our time that we have together. You can jump in at any time. You can call 401-1413, ask your questions, have your dialogue, interject your thoughts. It doesn't have to be on this subject. Be delighted to discuss it with you and see what God will use it for. Matthew chapter 20, chapter 7, verse 13 and following. The Scripture starts out, and we'll not take time to exegete all of the text, but unit of thought is verse 13 through 23. And Jesus talks about the two gates, the two ways, the two fruits, the two trees. May I remind us, he drops down, as we drop down in that text, verse 17, "So every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." That's the word poneros, bad, not honorable, not good. A good, that is the word kelos, means honorable, good, beneficial tree, brings forth evil, bad fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits shall you know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, that is the word kurios, means owner and master, controller. Not everyone that says unto me, owner and master, controller, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22 and 23 is the key verses, or the key verses. Notice, many, that's the word megas, we get our word megas, multitudes. Many will say unto me in that day, he's talking about the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name we have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23, and then will I, Jesus Christ himself speaking, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, many will enter the wide gate, Jesus says in the early portion of this unit of thought. Many will enter that wide gate. And that wide gate, he says, leads to destruction. And there's few. We get our word from that word few, minuscule. Minuscule numbers. Few, minuscule, will enter the narrow gate, which leads to eternal life. Then Jesus warns of the false teachers. Jesus says they're deceptive. They come in sheep's clothing. He says, but they are dangerous. They're ravening wolves. Jesus then counsels with us, and it's as applicable today as it was the days that it was written down in Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter. And then he goes to talk about these false teachers. First of all, we see in verse 21 the serious caution that's revealed. You see, salvation is not just turning over a new leaf. Salvation is not just going to a Baptist church, Methodist, Presbyterian. It's not a matter of being a member of some good club. I always say the goose, the moose, the got loose club has nothing to do with our relationship. Salvation has nothing to do with good deeds. Salvation has nothing to do with just lip service. Salvation is based on entering into that narrow gate. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man enters to the kingdom of God except through me. It's by me. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. Not a way, but the way. Notice two things in that 21st verse. Notice the righteous professors saith, Lord, Lord. Now I'm going to pause for a moment. Let that sink in. Lord, Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are a whole lot of religious professors today that do a lot of what I call God talk. It's Lord this and Lord that and Lord the other. And that's only on Sunday. And that's generally just on Sunday morning if you go at all. Ladies and gentlemen, if I'm stepping on your toes, wonderful, praise God, that's the purpose of the broadcast. But we need to understand that there's more to salvation than just God talk. There's more to salvation than just being a member of a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian church or any other denominational church. The righteous professor is one that says, Lord, Lord. It is a professor, but without a possessor of Christ. Notice the real possessor, the scripture says in that 21st verse, he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You see, God is not just interested in words, but he's interested in works after salvation. Ephesians 2:10 says, we're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. But after we're saved, we want to serve. We have that absolute craving in our hearts to be obedient to God. And the roadmap for our obedience is outlined in the Word of God. It's not a matter of what some preacher says, not a matter of some Johnny-come-lately, a Dr. Divine that might set up his tent or come to our community or neighborhood or that gets on the radio and says, this is the way. You have a lot of God talkers and God hawkers out there in society today that say a lot of good-sounding things, but simply not fountain-headed and fundamentally founded in the Word of God. So we see the serious caution that is revealed in verse 21. But then there's that shallow claim that's found in verse 22. In that day, talking about the day of judgment. In the day of judgment is recorded, by the way, in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. In that day, multitudes will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. They will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as the judge of the universe, the Supreme Court of the universe, judge and justice. No hung jury, no mistrial, but Jesus Christ will be the ultimate judge. John chapter 5, verse 26 and verse 29 says that Jesus Christ is the ultimate judge and he has been appointed to do the judging of all of the universe. And so therefore that judgment will take place in that day of judgment. Many will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and the scripture says the books are open. In the Revelation 20 text, that's the book of the law, the book of life, the book of living, and will show what the person has done. We see, first of all, they're rebellious. Rebellious. Notice the scripture says in that 22nd verse, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils? That's the word demons, demons for demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Notice they are religious. They say, look, Lord, look at all of our good deeds. We've been able to prophesy. We've been able to speak in tongues. We've leaped tall buildings with a single bound. We've been able to leap over pews in our denomination. We've been able to prophesy. We've been able to interpret. And therefore, we've done great works. I'm not just stepping on toes with that. There are multitudes of other things I can mention. The scripture says they're religious. They say, look what we've done. They are religious, but notice they are rebellious. They stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want to argue their own case. Listen, you perhaps fall into this category. I don't know who you are. Don't know your heart. Don't know your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. But right now, the Holy Spirit of God is speaking and saying, dear lady, dear man, dear gentleman, dear son, dear daughter or girl, son or daughter, listen, you need to say yes to Jesus Christ and be real with your doing so. Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I'm on my way to a devil's hell. And I know the only way I can be saved is by inviting you into my heart and asking you to save me. We need to stop listening to the false teachers that Jesus himself said are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are dangerous. They are devastating. They are ravenous and will destroy and damn multiplied millions of souls to eternity in hell. Notice the severe condemnation Jesus recites in verse 23. Notice his recognition. He says, "Then will I," that's Jesus speaking, "profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Notice his recognition. He says, "I never knew you." Now listen very carefully in John the 10th chapter, verse 26, 27, 28. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The early portion of John chapter 10, the scripture says that the shepherd knows his sheep. He calls them by name, and they follow him. There's a vast difference in simply saying, "I'm a member of a church. I'm a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian," or whatever it may be. There's a vast difference in that and having a personal first-hand relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I never knew you." That word "knew" comes from the little Greek word gnosis, means to know. And the word that is found here is the little word epignosis. If you put it in the vernacular, Jesus Christ is saying, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I have never had a personal first-hand relationship with you. I don't know you. You've never said yes to me as Savior. You're lost, lost, lost," is what Jesus Christ is saying. Because the scripture is very clear. If we've said yes to Jesus Christ, we're his sheep. He is the shepherd of his sheep. And we know him. He knows us. And he calls us by name. And we follow the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But notice his rejection. "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Listen carefully. This is the saddest scripture in all of the Bible, the saddest verse in all the scripture, where Jesus said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Listen, in the context, these people that are God talkers have just been bragging about what they've done. They've cast out demons. They have been able to do many wonderful work. The Youngblood paraphrased vernacular says, "Jesus, look at me. I've preached great messages. I've led great choirs. I've done great crusades. I have done what some would refer to as a healing ministry, a demonic exorcism ministry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, infinitum, et cetera." But Jesus says, "Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I never knew you. I've never had a relationship with you. Depart from me." And listen carefully. Those good works that are identified in verse 22, Jesus calls iniquity. That word iniquity is the word for twisted, perverted sin. Jesus says, "All your good works, all your claims of righteousness, all of your God talk is simply wicked, evil, perverted sin in my sight." So the challenge for today is to recognize that one of the great problems that we have in America is not because of the prostitute in the street, the bum on the bench, the derelict in the ditch, but it's because of spineless preachers in the pulpit failing or refusing to preach the Word of God in context, verse by verse. Thank you for listening today. I can tell by our music. Our time is over. I'll meet you again on the air, same place, same station, same time next week, God willing. Thank you for listening today, and God bless you. Have wonderful services in your church Sunday morning.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.